This is the Sons and Slaves Podcast. This is a show devoted to helping fathers and sons honor and obey the Lord. Join me, Jared, and my sons Ransom and Valor as I talk to them about boyhood and the process of becoming a man. Okay, who's going to do the introduction today?
Me.
You're going to do it? Or Valor, you're going to do it? What do you think? You guys can't both do it. Who did it last time? Do you remember?
Him.
No. I did the outro. Let's do it at the same time.
Oh, wait. Paper, rock, scissors. Paper, rock, scissors. Let's do it. Okay, gotta put that chai tea latte down.
Paper, wait, rock, let's scissors. Just do it at the same time.
Okay, no, just go 1, 2, 3, hit, and then let's see who gets it. The first one. This is not best out of three. Boom, boom, boom. And then...
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, okay. Ransom, you got it. Do the introduction.
Welcome to the Sons and Slaves Podcast. I'm here with my two co-hosts today, Valor and Dad. How you guys doing?
Oh, baby. Doing good. Valor, how you doing?
Good.
Tell them about your last basketball game that you did yesterday, or 2 days ago, I mean, with Upward. How many points did you get?
8 points.
Did you play as hard as you can?
Yes.
You did? You gave it your all? Your very best? And you made 8 points. It's pretty cool. So,
I made 2 points.
You made 2 points, but tell us
my record's eight.
Yep, record's eight. What was the overall assessment of basketball this year? Do you guys like it?
Yes, I did. Upwards basketball, next year sign up. It's great.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You liked it too, Valor?
Yeah.
You had Shaquille O'Neal shoes. Ransom, you had, well, they were Under Armour shoes, but they sure did look like the first edition Kobe Bryant shoes. That was pretty cool.
They were.
Yeah. What's been with basketball this year? You guys have gone crazy about basketball. It's been fun, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We have an announcement. We're going to be interviewing Pistol Pete Maravich's son, Jason, here in a few months, and we're all pretty excited about it, aren't we?
Yes. It's going to be a Sunday's podcast. It's going to be our second episode after this. Like, 2 episodes after this is going to be that one.
I don't know. It'll probably be more than that.
Maybe three or four.
Down the line, but it's coming.
Yep. Me and Val are going to be right here, listening.
Talking
to him, asking him questions about Pete Maravich.
Oh, man, it's going to be awesome. Can't
wait. Listen, the girl that was... the girl, they say... by the way, me and my papa said it was on the news that girl broke Pete Maravich's record.
Yeah, but she had 3-pointers.
Yep.
And he didn't.
If Pete Maravich had 3-pointers, he would still be holding the record.
That's exactly right. It's totally different. It's apples and oranges
totally
here.
It's totally different.
Yeah, Pete Maravich is still the rightful scoring champion of college basketball. You think
it
so too,
still
Pup?
Is.
All right. Puppy, what are you drinking?
Chai tea latte, but I only drink it all.
You drank all of that?
Yeah.
You said that I'm the king of making chai tea lattes, right? Was that the best one you ever drank? Was it too hot? It wasn't too hot then, was it?
No.
Perfect temperature? And then, Ransom, you've got your milk?
Milk.
Milk. Mm-hmm. It does a body good.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be commercials when I was a kid that said, milk, it does a body good. All right, we're going to pray and ask for the Lord's help. We're going to talk about leadership today. Sparks, men.
Worship, protect, provide, lead, love. Worship, protect, provide, lead, love.
That's right.
Listen.
That's what we do because that's what God calls us to do. And
find more about Pete Maravich. Read Pete Maravich's book. Heir to a Dream.
Heir to a Dream. That's right.
That's my brother's favorite, and my favorite is Giannis.
And your favorite's Giannis. That's right.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It's a tough name. Man, is it tough.
It's a really tough name.
It is. All right, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to talk about leadership. I'm going to ask you guys a brain buster. When is the coldest that you've ever been in your entire life? But that's for after we pray. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. I ask for blessing upon the conversation with my sons. Thank you for all you're doing in our life. We want to be the best leaders that we can possibly be. And we want to encourage others to be the best leaders that they can possibly be. Help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We're talking about Ernest Shackleton today and the Endurance Expedition of 1916, I believe it was. An amazing story. But first, I want to ask you guys, when is the coldest that you've ever been? Can you remember?
15 degrees below zero.
No.
A few years ago.
It was our camp out. I think it was our camp out.
No,
we were
remember
bitter
when
cold.
It snowed like that, like a couple feet deep?
Yeah, but it wasn't 15. Maybe the wind chill maybe was 15 below zero.
It was.
Was it really?
Yeah.
My goodness. What was the coldest? Have you ever had your hands so cold, Puppy, that your fingers felt like they were going to freeze off? When was that?
I remember when you were so little, you decided to walk on the creek and it was only like 20 degrees and you fell right in and I saw it happen.
Oh, is that true? So Valor, tell us about when your hands were really cold. Were your hands really cold this wintertime?
It was a few days ago. When we had snow.
Uh-huh.
A few weeks ago, actually. Not a few days. It was like a few weeks ago. Maybe two weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, about that.
And it feels like your hands are going to... It's almost like they feel hot sometimes when they're cold.
Literally.
They're burning. You know? Isn't that weird?
I know.
Do you remember sleeping in our Trail Life camp out 2 years ago when it was wintertime and it was bitter cold? My sleeping bag was not rated for that cold of weather. And I froze. And you guys were just sawing logs over there, sleeping like babies. And I was freezing. It was very, very cold.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
it wasn't that cold.
I want to tell you about a very cold expedition. You guys have heard me talk about this because we've talked about Shackleton before, but Shackleton is the example of a really good leader that we're learning about today, okay? Here is what one person said about Shackleton. He didn't care if he went out without a shirt on his own back, so long as the men he was leading had sufficient clothing. It's a very important principle of leadership is you put other people before you put yourself. So if there's not enough clothing, if there's not enough food, you give them the food, you give them the clothing, and you go because you're the leader and lead the way, and you sacrifice for the good of others. So here's what Bob in Boyhood and Beyond, if you don't know, if you're just now with us, we are walking through a book called Boyhood and Beyond by Bob Schultz. It is published by Great Expectations Book Company in Eugene, Oregon, and Bob wrote a few books for boys that are so helpful, and the interesting thing, he's kind of like Mr. Josh. He doesn't have any sons himself. He's now passed away, actually. Now Josh is living. But Bob didn't have any boys himself, but he had a really good way of talking to boys. Josh does a really good job with boys, doesn't he? We keep talking about Josh on this episode.
I really like Josh. He's my friend.
I know he is. We keep talking about him. I think Bob was kind of like that, where he just was really good with knowing how to relate to young boys in such a way they can understand the lessons that he's trying to teach. And so that's why I think this book is so helpful. And it's really good for fathers because he writes to sons, but the lessons that we've been learning about, I've been taking to heart and realizing, man, there's a lot of room for me to grow as a man, as a father, and as a pastor. So we're going to talk through this, and then we'll do what we always do. We're going to go through five or six things that I think are important for us to talk about. So in 1916, Ernest Shackleton and his men approached the coast of Antarctica. They were attempting to be the first party to hike completely across the continent. Well, they got wedged in the ice, frozen in the ice, and their boat, the Endurance, got trapped for almost a year. And as the ice was breaking up, because ice is so big, it's so thick, and so powerful, that ice began to shift against the sides of that boat. And that boat, even though its mast was massive, even though the wood itself was so hard it felt like stone, it began to break. These huge, massive beams of 2 feet beams that just began to move and shift when the ice moved and shift, and it would shatter these beams and to creak the beams, and these guys ended up having to leave the boat because the boat was actually cracking up. And they had to leave the boat and live on ice. They had to live on ice. It was crazy. They had to float on these big ice. And so they ended up getting to, after that, they float on the ice for a little bit, the 28 men actually in these two lifeboats, they had to, after dragging these lifeboats across the ice, after floating on big icebergs, they ended up having to get in the water, the freezing cold, frigid waters with no fire, with no hot hands. You know how much we like hot hands, right? They didn't have
miserable.
Hot hands in 1918. Could you imagine your hands being cold with no hot hands? I mean, what kind of world were they living in?
There was no television.
No television.
Oh, man.
It was wild. They just had the radio and books. Books are better anyways, aren't they?
Books are way better.
Now, they ended up having to float all the way to this tiny little island called Elephant Island. There were no animals except seals there. They were able to eat seal meat. They had a bunch of meat that they could eat and a bunch of animal fat. But they ended up leaving Elephant Island. They realized if they were going to...
Elephant Island, those are one of the biggest animals in the world.
I know, it's weird.
Like they call Ant Island.
I don't know. But here's
or
what they had
Germ
to...
Germ Island.
Here's the decision that they had to make. They had to settle it in their minds that one boat was going to have to leave the company of men, and five men were going to go all the way from Elephant Island through the most treacherous and cold waters in the entire world and make it all the way back to this island called the Georgia Island, where there was a whaling station. And so these guys made this decision, and Ernest Shackleton said, I'm going. He would not leave his men. He would not send somebody else to do the job that he was responsible for because he was the leader of this expedition. So him and a guy named Worley, I forget the guy's name, let's see, Frank Worley was the navigator, and he was an unbelievable navigator because he was going through the waters and looking at the stars and taking a compass and navigating latitude, longitude lines by the stars and the rotation of the earth, and was able to get them all the way to Elephant Island, from Elephant Island all the way to the Georgian Island. Now listen to what Shackleton had to do. When they were on this boat, the waves were so cold and the water was so high that it was going over the front of the boat, and the guys actually had to take ice picks. Listen to this, Valor, it's crazy. And had to go on the front of the boat and take a hammer and an ice pick and hit the ice off the front of the boat, because the boat would begin to sink if the ice got too thick on the front of that thing and it would get too heavy. The ice would just build up and build up and build up and build up, almost like a huge snow cone or something like that. So they had to go and chisel that ice so it didn't sink them. They'd make it all the way to the island. And then Shackleton knew what he had to do. He had to hike from one side of the island all the way to the other side of the island because the whaling station was on the other side. After making it through the treacherous waters, after making it through a hurricane, there was a huge boat. There was a huge boat that sank off the coast of the southern coast of the Georgian Islands on the same night that this little dinghy boat was floating around in there with Shackleton and his four other guys. And those compadres, those friends, they made it. And then Shackleton led them on a overland expedition all the way across from one side of the Georgian island to the other side. It had never been done before, and it took like another 70-something years for anybody to do this expedition again. On foot, they traveled all the way across. Now, listen to this. At one point across the Georgian Islands, they were on this huge mountain looking down, and there was fog. You guys know about fog, right?
Oh, yeah.
And there was a big ice slide, and it was a big slope going down, and that slope went down underneath the fog line. So when they were looking down, they looked down, and they looked at the fog. It was just clouds, and they didn't know what was underneath that glacier slide. And what Shackleton knew is we're going to have to risk our lives, and we're going to have to slide on our backs, not knowing where we're going. And they slid down, not knowing if they were going to slide off of a cliff or into jagged rocks or into some sort of glacial crevice that would send them all the way down to the bottom of a glacier and they could never get out. They did it anyways, knowing that they had to get across this island. They slid down, and luckily they went under that. And not just luckily, this was God's providence. They went under that fog line and ended up sliding down onto the base of a glacial slope. And they ended up surviving. They made it all the way across the glacial island of Georgia to the whaling station and survived. Their bones were almost visible. Their body was ravaged. They had long beards and they looked like they had just walked through. They looked like, it was just amazing what they looked like. They looked like Robinson Crusoe. They looked like exactly what they went through. They made it to the whaling station, and then Shackleton went back to Elephant Island, got a boat to go back. And finally, after like almost 2 years, every single man that went on the expedition survived. And it was because God's work through a non-Christian man, through Shackleton, to be a leader. By self-sacrifice and throwing his own life in the balance, he saved every one of his men. Not one life was lost. He was willing to undertake the most dangerous and difficult tasks himself. He was willing to lead from the front and do whatever it took to protect those that were under his rule and under his care. Ernest Shackleton was a great leader because he looked past his own fears, past his own pain, past his own distress, to see the needs of his men. And we need more men like Shackleton, Bob says. Men who look past themselves to the needs of others. That's the kind of men that Sparks men are. You hear me? Mm-hmm. That's the kind of men that the men at Christ Church Carbondale are. The boys at Christ Church Carbondale are. The boys that are going to be a part of the Mighty Men Troop are going to be. We're going to be leaders like that. Now, what do you think gets in the way of being a good leader? What do you guys think?
Jealousy.
Okay.
Disobedience,
right. Okay, if you don't do things God's way, that certainly is a problem. What do you think, Valor?
Being mean to someone.
Being mean to somebody, unnecessarily mean. Yeah, that would be kind of disrespectful to people under your
punching
care.
Punching someone.
Punching somebody unnecessarily. Yeah, sometimes you have to punch somebody if they're out of line and they're not doing the right thing. But what about this word? What about selfishness? Do you think selfishness gets in the way of being a good leader?
Selfishness is one of the biggest ones.
Why do you think selfishness would get in the way of being a leader?
Because you would teach all your crewmen to be selfish.
Yeah, you would teach the crewmen. What do you think, though? When you're selfish, do you put yourself first or other people first?
Other people.
No, when you're selfish, who do you put first, yourself or other people?
Yourself.
When you're selfish, you're always thinking about yourself and your needs, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm thirsty. I'm tired. I want milk.
What's in it for me?
What?
What's in it for me? That's what the selfish man thinks about. That's what the selfish boy thinks about. What everybody else has, what everybody else gets to do, what I want to do and what I want to have. It's all about me, 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 me. But what does a good leader do? Does a good leader put himself first or others first?
Others first.
I mean, others.
Of course, others first. That's what you do.
Being
a bad leader?
Yeah.
No, being a good leader is putting others first. But let me tell you what Bob says. There's a few things here that get in the way. And he says selfishness is a part of it. Here's what he says. Many boys are shy. They say they're shy. The parents explained that their son did not say thank you or hello with the excuse, oh, Joey is just being shy today. The truth is that Joey is just selfish. Joey thinks too much of his own feelings and thoughts to consider somebody else. He's being selfish. Here's what Bob says. When a selfish boy arrives at a birthday party, he's always thinking about himself. He's wondering, I bet they don't like me. What is there to eat? What are we doing for fun? Is this going to be fun for me? Are these toys going to be cool? I wish I could have these toys. It's all about me, 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 me. But a boy destined to be a leader will ask a different set of questions. Is anybody sad at this party? How can I cheer somebody up? Is anybody lonely? Well, I can sit next to them. Does anybody need help? Well, I can help them. He sees somebody needing a chair and he gets one. He asks the hostess, what can I do to help? He begins the conversation with those who look uncomfortable. He thinks so much of others that he may overlook getting cake and punch himself because he's wanting to make sure other people get their needs met. The future leader leaves his thoughts full of people and he met the opportunities and the opportunities that he had to serve. He didn't really care about what he did or didn't get. The leader is always wanting to help other people. Now, he gives us four big ways to be a leader. We're going to talk about it. Number one, if you want to be a good leader, start by asking God to help you see the needs of people. All right, guys, here's the deal. Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
Valor, can I be honest with you too?
Yes.
If you always think about yourself and what you need, you're going to hurt a lot of people in your life. Because here's what you're going to do. You guys are boys and you're going to grow into men. And you're going to have power. God's given you power because you are boys. And one day, you're going to be a grown boy. You're going to look like a man. But if you don't understand that you exist for the good of glory of God and the good of other people, you're going to expect everybody else to meet your needs. And you could be demanding and controlling and want to get all this power for selfish reasons. But a good leader wants power and he wants authority to honor God and to help people. A good leader is thinking about the needs of other people. And that's what I want you to be. I don't want you to be selfish, always thinking about yourself. I want you to be thinking, what can I do to serve? What can I do to help? What can I do? Is there any dirty work that needs to be done that I can help with? That's what leaders do. And if you'll be that kind of boy and man, when you do grow into being a man, you'll be a really good man. You'll be helping people. You'll be living for their good. And you won't be selfish. You will struggle with selfishness probably the rest of your life. But we want to grow out of that. Okay, the second thing is, look at people around you each day. Take moments to think, what does Dad feel like when he comes home? How can I help? What makes him glad? Or does Mom need help with anything? What does Mom feel like when she gets up in the morning? What can I do to make her day brighter? What do you think is something we can do? Let's, Ransom, we'll start with you. What's something we can do to be an encouragement to your mom? What do you think?
Clean the dishwasher out. That's what I did this morning.
Okay, empty the dishwasher.
Empty the dishwasher.
That's a good one.
Fold the laundry.
Okay, help with laundry. Those are good things.
Help my dad.
What about put up dirty laundry when you change your clothes? What about that?
That's so hard.
Ooh, gosh, it's just tough sometimes.
It's very tough.
Valor, what's a good way that you can help your mom? What do you think?
Giving her water if she needs some.
Giving her water. Maybe asking her when she's doing some hard work around the house, you could say, hey, Mom, do you need some water? I think that's a great idea. How'd you come up with that one? Don't know? Well, what about this? Hey, Mom, could you use a chai tea latte? Maybe me and you can sit on the porch and talk. If you want to blow your socks off of your mom, she would just love that. If you wanted to go join her on the front porch for a chai tea latte. That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What about asking, is there anything that needs to be picked up?
And then yeah, that would be good.
That's a good one. Because if you don't know what to do,
just pick something up.
Pick something up. That's right. That's so good, guys. Okay, what about this? Number three, when you meet people, be attentive. Are they happy, sad, tired, or energetic? Why do they feel that way? Make it a game.
If they're sad, try to get them happy or give them something like that, something to do to help them.
Listen,
yep.
Don't be sad. Who's got a baby mess?
Nobody! When we see people as sad, like we can kind of be the kind of young boys and men. Now, you guys are young boys. I'm a man. We can be the kind of men that bring sorrow or joy. When we show up, we want to be the kind of men the people in the room, they're attracted to, they're drawn to, and they also, if they're down in the dumps, we just have a way through the power of the Holy Spirit of helping people get out of that mood, that down in the dumps mood. And we can see who needs to be talked to, who needs to be encouraged, that sort of thing. I mean, I think that's a pretty important thing.
Yeah.
And that's what Shackleton could do. He could get the best out of people. Bad leaders get people who are really gifted in some way, and they identify giftedness, but instead of getting the most out of them, they beat them down.
They get the least out of them
because they beat them down. But we want to be the people that lift people up.
This is something good.
What?
Like if someone's sick, you can ask if they can get water or anything.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, could we bring you a meal? Could we take care of your responsibilities or your job? Could we mow your yard for you while you're down?
If they want like something to drink or eat.
Yeah, maybe even a popsicle. What's that kind of popsicle we eat when we're sick?
Pedialyte
pop.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. What color's your favorite?
I like the orange.
Orange. That's a good one. That's so good.
I like the blue.
Okay. All right. Now here we go. There's one more thing. He says, when you enter a room or visit someone's house, be on the lookout for things to be helpful to do. You can sit in the corner and selfishly hope that somebody will notice you. Or you can embark on an adventure looking for people to serve. Develop an eye for service, and it brings freedom far and near, and it brings freedom from your selfishness. If you're helping other people, you're not always thinking about yourself. You got to forget about your shyness. This is a challenge, guys. Have you ever met somebody and felt really shy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, where you just kind of wanted to hide?
Yeah. First time I met me, mom, and papa, I was shy.
You were not. You were a baby. Silly goose.
I was full.
This is Bob's challenge. What do you guys think about this? He says when you're shy and you don't want to shake somebody's hand firmly and look them in the eye, he says you're being selfish. What do you guys think about that?
I totally agree with him.
But not when you're a baby.
Not when you're a baby, but when you're your age, you know, like 5, 6.
Imagine Oaks and
above. Yeah, that would be, I think everybody would be shocked if he did that. So when you meet somebody, instead of hiding behind your parents, you put that hand out, you shake their hand real good, look them in the eye, and you make them feel important enough that you wanted to meet them. When you're shy and you're looking around like this.
I met Creed.
Oh man, yeah, Creed was a great one. He is a great one. Man, what a guy. Well, you guys need a message or call Creed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All right, so when you enter a room, look for what you can do for other people. Don't just expect other people to serve you, serve other people. You know what I mean?
I really miss Creed.
I know. Okay. Yeah. Now, listen. This is about wrapped up. Do you want to be the kind of man with courage like Shackleton?
Yes.
Yeah.
You do? You want to be the kind of man that boys and men look to and say, I'd follow that guy anywhere? You want to be that kind of guy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Your biggest hindrance to that. Hear what Bob says. Imagine me looking like Bob, white hair Bob. Okay? Here's what he says. Boys, ransom and valor. If you want to be a leader, the biggest hindrance to being a leader like Shackleton, is selfishness. If you're selfish, you can't lead. The selfish are not courageous. You must become a man who thinks of others. It's not waiting for some big chance to save lives that makes a hero. A hero is made by thinking of others in everyday situation. The choice is before you. You'll either be a selfish coward, or you will be like Ernest Shackleton, a courageous leader whose eyes saw the needs of his men. Here's what Philippians 2 verse 4 says. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Woo! That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
when we talk about leadership, this is the way. We lead from the front. We do what we ask other people to do. We look for others' needs before we consider our own needs. And we lead in such a way that other people are following. We want to be the kind of boy and then one day the kind of man that other men look at and say, I want to be like that man. And yeah. Boys look up to and say, I want to be like him when I grow up. That's the mission that we're on. You guys up for that mission?
Yeah.
You down with that, pup?
Yeah.
Good deal. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. This has been the chapter on leadership from boyhood and beyond. Fellas, got anything to say before we wrap up?
Oh, I got one. If you have a favorite basketball player, you should
put it in the comments below.
Yeah. Ooh. Or maybe come to our house or
Let
something.
Us know.
Listen. The winner, the person... Listen, everyone pick Pete Maravich. He was a Christian, and he's the bomb diggity. He's in the top 50 best players ever. Yeah, okay. This was battle.
All right.
No, he wasn't.
Thanks so much.
Please subscribe, and I'll see you next time.
It was way better than Dunkle. See you.
Thank you for listening to the Sons and Slaves podcast. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes and pass this along to every father and son that you know.